Welcome to the Unmuted Podcast from Los Angeles. I'm Jay Mariotti. What we're about to experience, coronavirus permitting, are ball games on mushrooms. It's the best the pandemic can do to lift our battered beings from America's daily morass, one that has left us alternately numb, angry, and slap happy. If the NBA players are not being tested for recreational drugs down in their Disney World snitch bubble, then I say it's only fair that fans can get stoned as they warily enter the new sports twilight zone on Thursday. That's when a COVID-19 testing site in LA, formerly known as Dodger Stadium, moonlights as an opening night TV studio.
This is the Pandemic Proof Podcast with Jay Mariotti, an actual journalist who covered the Bay Area earthquake long after a World Series was postponed and on 9/11 successfully demanded to keep hosting his national radio show when an advertising boss wanted to switch to network programming. Did you really think Jay ever would stick to sports during a global health crisis? Now, here's Jay Mariotti.
Yes, artificial crowd noise will be piped in from a video game and equipped with, get this, 75 different effects and reactions, which is so typical of Major League Baseball, lying instead of embracing innovation and miking up the players. Here's a whiff of what you will hear courtesy of Citi Field in New York. And the camera shots will be tight to avoid showing those vacant caverns, all those empty seats. The house organ and the walk-up music will be eerie, and the cardboard cutouts as fans, at least they won't be hospitalized or killed by screaming foul balls, just pelted with holes. What do? Replace them? One gets pelted with a hole and trot that one out and bring this one in? Jesus. But even if it seems like something Will Smith stumbled upon in I Am Legend, the movie, it is still baseball of some sort. Not that it's safe in the least, though, as underscored by the fears of Atlanta's Freddie Freeman, the most prominent of many players who have shuttled back and forth after battling the virus. After Freeman reached a fever of 104.5 degrees Fahrenheit, this is what he was feeling.
I said a little prayer that night because, you know, I've never been that hot before. My body was really, really hot. So I said, please don't take me. I wasn't ready. You know, it got a little worrisome that night for me. So I took some NyQuil, some Tylenol, and, you know, I was able to get to sleep. I was just scared to go to bed because I was scared if I spiked even higher when I was sleeping, what would happen.
He was scared of dying. That's what the man was saying. But hey, get your ass back out there and play ball, okay? DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees called his positive test, quote, a scary experience, end quote, though he had no symptoms. Know this going in. Chances are the 60-game season will be shuttered by outbreaks because unlike NBA bubble life, players will be vulnerable to virus transmissions in the, what, 18, 19 hours they are not at the park daily. The Canadian government is locking the Blue Jays out of Toronto, not wanting players to catch anything in our contaminated United States. This geopolitical quagmire requires the club pivot to playing home games in Buffalo. LA County still might force Dodgers players to quarantine for 14 days, along with me and anybody else who resides here, if the contact tracing system so demands, meaning the World Series favorites would be at a competitive disadvantage in an area where more than 4,000 people died last week from the virus. 4,000. Quote, Clayton Kershaw, it's not going to be like anything else we've done, but at the same time, we're all going through it on an exactly level playing field, end quote, Kershaw. Maybe not, big guy. So how can MLB begin to stage a realistic season if the logistical field is uneven? Answer, of course, throughout sports, money. the $4 billion, in this case, that the baseball owners are frantically trying to recoup from desperate broadcast networks. With Chicago White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf, my good pal, a man for whom few feel sorry, telling USA Today he has incurred losses in the nine figures from his MLB and NBA franchises. Oh, but there's more. The face of baseball, Mike Trout, probably won't play much, if at all, prioritizing his wife's August pregnancy. Other major names are staying home. More will be joining them in coming weeks. Rosters will become so depleted the season could be illegitimate before they even juice the baseballs. And given how the so-called Commissioner Rob Manfred has been an abysmal failure in normal times, imagine what chaos awaits amid an ongoing health crisis. Yet, bastardized as it all is, we're going to try and watch these games anyway, if only for a few days, because, you know, we need a friggin' escape hatch from life itself. Oh, how we need a diversion from, let's see, mask warfare, Daniel Snyder, the disturbing notion of black anti-Semitism, the sin of athletes getting quick test results when many commoners cannot, a vomit-inducing NFL labor battle coming right up, wealthy coaches who push for a college football season while asking unpaid players to assume health risks, the continuation of insensitive nicknames after Redskins was purged, the hypocrisy of prospective Mets owner Alex Rodriguez advocating a salary cap after earning, what, $450 million during his playing career? Tiger Woods balky back. I didn't like seeing that. Upheaval in the media world. And then, finally, the creep who secretly recorded Rachel Nichols in her hotel room. The latest bit of madness from the burning house of ESPN, which actually seems nuttier than the White House these days. Quote, America needs baseball, end quote, declared the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, a first on this podcast, Mitch McConnell. Actually, America needs baseball to get away from President Trump, who created this godforsaken medical mess even as he tries to blame and stonewall the good doctor, Anthony Fauci. I'm not sure anybody cares what happens in these ball games, but at least we have something to watch on ESPN, which actually ran two Eagles concerts in prime time, confusing Joe Walsh with Carson Wentz. And America needs to get away from the evil Snyder, who finally faces a national reckoning as the derelict NFL owner who flouted a racist nickname and allowed a culture of sexual harassment and piggery. Somehow, in the nation's capital, Snyder employed enough cavemen in his hierarchy to prompt 15 women to voice serious allegations, leading to numerous firings and another dark moment for the Washington football franchise. Alex Santos was dismissed as pro personnel director after Rhiannon Walker, a reporter for the Athletic website, accused Santos of inappropriate advances, telling her, allegedly, that she, quote, had a little wagon for an ass, unquote, and that she, quote, wore the bleep out of the jeans, end quote, she wore one day on the job. In what world is a man like this allowed to be gainfully employed? In Daniel Snyder's world. In his usual weenie way, Snyder recruited a female lawyer, Beth Wilkinson, and empowered her, quote, to do a full unbiased investigation and make any and all requisite recommendations, end quote. Then he recruited his wife, Tanya, to co-draft an apology that was emailed to all employees, saying the details in a Washington Post report have, quote, no place in our franchise or society, end quote. But it's hard to believe an owner, even one as clueless as Snyder, didn't have some idea of the toxic climate in his front office. As the man responsible for such abuses, Snyder should be forklifted out of his perch by NFL owners, right? Well, that's not going to happen. Snyder was not accused directly in these allegations, and the influential Jerry Jones, for one, is a Snyder friend who has indulged in his own piggery at times. Though the NFL condemned the Washington franchise in a statement saying the alleged behavior is, quote, serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values, end quote. Expect nothing more than a fat fine, which is a slap on the wrist for a billionaire whose team is worth $3.1 billion. Settlements with the alleged victims will cost Snyder considerably more, and if he were smart, he would sell the team before he botches the next nickname. He is fortunate to have a respected fixer in Ron Rivera, who is running the football operation and coaching the team these days, and produced the defining quote of this debacle. I'm quoting Rivera. My daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this, end quote. Ron Rivera. Thank you. But then the NFL was too busy playing loose and free with COVID-19, announcing that a couple of thousand players are expected in training camp next week. Damn it, next week. There isn't a health protocol in sight, which is a frightening thought in a close contact sport with no chance of physical distancing, as I've said about 50 times since April. Quote, the league is in charge of opening and closing the plant. We asked the question, is it safe, said J.C. Treader, president of the NFL Players Association, and that's a man you can grow accustomed to seeing often the next few weeks. Quoting Treader, it's up to the NFL to make those decisions on when we open. Every decision we make that doesn't look at the long term of getting through the whole season will set us up for failure. End quote. Here is more, J.C. Treader.
This is a contact disease, and we play a contact sport. So the way this thing passes along is through contact, and that's what we do for a living. And the way we interact with each other at the facility, at practice, weightlifting, at the meal room, it is us shoulder to shoulder, standing by each other, passing things around. So there is a long list of ideas we need to come up with on how to make this environment safe for us. And that's why it's going to be a lot of thinking involved in that. And that's why we have conversations and calls, and we're looking at that every day. But that's kind of the issues we're facing, is this is a contact disease and we play a contact sport.
All of which is code for ugly negotiations ahead. Just what we need. More ugly sports negotiations. I'd be shocked if the NFL season started even without fans in early September. Same goes for college football, with LSU's Ed Orgeron declaring this during a roundtable discussion with, how's this for a pairing, Vice President Mike Pence.
These men have worked hard last year. Going into the season, Joe Burrow was a projected 6th-round draft choice. He went the first player picked in the draft and signed for $33 million. If he didn't play last season, nobody ever knew about Joe Burrow going to win the championship. I don't think we can take this away from these players. Take this away from our state and our country. We need football. Football is the lifeblood of our country, in my opinion. It gets everything going, the economy in Baton Rouge, the economy in the state of Louisiana. And, these young men need this chance now. We brought our guys back. I think Scott Woodward, I want to thank him. I want to thank President Gallagher. We were the first staff to come back. And we got tested every morning. Nobody got sick. We wore our masks. I tell everybody, wear your mask. Wherever you're going, stay in Louisiana. Like the governor said, wear your mask. Our players came back. We spent a week educated on COVID-19. I don't think any other team in the country was more educated than we were. We got into working out. We have not had one kid catch the virus from working out in our training room. It's sterile. We clean it every day. Everybody gets tested. Now, the young men will be young men. So they went to a party. 100 people were there. They got the virus. They learned their lesson. They're not going to a party anymore, I promise you. So we had a spike. We did have a spike, but for right now, I can tell you, we're like that. This can't be handled. I thought about it. Players got really sick. I do believe that playing football, we can handle the season. I want to thank you for your support. Go Tigers.
Look, America doesn't need football. America needs to get well, to keep ICU beds from filling up, to stop people from dying. That's what America needs, Ed. But don't tell Coach O. He and Dabo Sweeney, damn it, think they're bigger than any old pandemic. Tensions also are inevitable inside that NBA bubble, where players and coaches accustomed to the very best in life are isolated for weeks and months. The snitch line, that would be the league's anonymous hotline used to report those breaking protocol in the bubble, already is causing problems, with Dwight Howard upset to have received more attention for not wearing a mask and being the only player at a league party than social injustice crimes that he has been talking about relentlessly. I'm quoting Howard, who thought about not joining the Lakers in Orlando, but did anyway. Quote, Breonna Taylor, the people who did the heinous incident against her, they are still free. They're out there living their best life. Instead of worrying about if I have my mask on or not, that's something we should be discussing. Why haven't these people been brought in? Why haven't they been charged for anything or arrested for what they've done? Instead of the topics being about who's not wearing a mask in the bubble, who was at the DJ party, who wasn't, all of these things seem entertaining, but we're not going to forget about what's going on around our world. I'm continuing the quote, Howard, from his Zoom interview. Those cops, one of the cops just posted a picture of himself at the beach. How could you have a conscience? You just killed somebody, and you're out at the beach with women. You killed a woman, and you're out at the beach with some more women having a good old time. He's making good points, Dwight Howard. You know that's not right. There's families out there mourning, white and black, who've been killed by cops, been killed through different things. The topic of discussion is who doesn't have a mask on and people snitching? Let's not forget why we are here. Dwight Howard, I echo Howard's thoughts. Still, Dwight, wear a mask. Thank you. Without much to cover since March, the sports media industry has gone gnarly too, turning on each other within their own companies. We realize ESPN can be a petty place, but what prompted somebody, presumably employed by the network, to record Rachel Nichols in her hotel room inside the NBA bubble and send the audio to a sleazy website? This whack job was trying to sabotage Nichols, host of the Jump program, and portray her as a backstabber as she discussed company affairs, including broadcast assignments for the NBA postseason. Again, in what world is such a person allowed to be gainfully employed? In ESPN's world, obviously. This in a week when the network's NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, was suspended without pay for 2 weeks, but that was it, only 2 weeks, after sending a bleep you Woj bomb to a Missouri senator. That would be F you Woj bomb to a Missouri senator. Yeah, Bristol is an insane place. Anybody running that joint? Other major media organizations are dealing with internal coups as well, including the New York Times and LA Times, where the sports staff crafted a letter to the executive editor, Norman Perlstein, outlining what it sees as ethical issues involving sports columnist Arash Markazi. The Times hired Markazi to emphasize, among other millennial subjects, social media, making him more like Billy Bush than Bill Plaschke, which didn't go over well with old school writers and editors, probably including Plaschke, if I know Plaschke. Nor did it humor them that Markazi was getting more media attention than most of those old schoolers, including praise from Arnold Schwarzenegger himself, with Arnold lauding Arash for losing 130 pounds. The signees say Markazi's work habits, quote, negatively affected reporters' relationships with the people, teams, and leagues that we cover, as well as our peers. During this time of deep newsroom reflection, we feel compelled to demand action in response to these transgressions. At stake here is not only the integrity and credibility of the sports staff, but of the entire Los Angeles Times, end quote. A Mariotti aside, when I was doing radio in L.A. one summer for ESPN, I once criticized Arash Markazi for not identifying himself to LeBron James when interviewing LeBron James. Is that a cardinal sin? No, but pretty damn unprofessional. And in this latest situation, Markazi did almost verbatim, word for word, copy a press release, which is a cardinal sin. It's just laziness. Just recraft it. I mean, what, huh? But I don't know if this is entirely a fireable offense. It seems like some people at the Times on their sports staff are upset that Arash runs off to Vegas and stays in a fancy hotel and writes about it and seems to endear himself to the people who run the place. If he's taking payoffs, yes, you have to fire him, but I have no evidence of that. Remember, they hired him to be a social bee. You know, he's supposed to be Arash, man about town, man about Vegas. That's why they hired him. So you can't fire him when he's being what he was hired to do, but he does have to clean up his act. All right, a Mariotti aside. Key question here. Say Arnold, the Terminator, calls on Markazi's behalf. Will Perlstein side with the sports staff or Schwarzenegger? And I think that's a big question. I'm trying to find levity in all of this. Trying. While on leave, Markazi always can mask up and help Chico Herrera in the Dodger Stadium outfield. Who is Chico Herrera? He's the clubhouse attendant who played left field during an intra-squad scrimmage last week, and he actually threw out Chris Taylor at second base on a deep fly ball. And why was Chico out there in left field to begin with? Because too many of the Dodgers were in quarantine, of course. They say audio reading is the new way to explore a book. So here is my latest column from the Barrett Sports Media site titled Where Dreams Come True, NBA Bubble Succeeds, LeBron James Wins Championship. Yeah, that's what I wrote. Positive. Today is about pixie dust. We're going to embrace a miracle. Let's say dreams do come true somehow, and that the NBA's trouble bubble does become the most magical place on earth. A medical and social revelation with no COVID-19 outbreaks, a minimum of calls to the snitch hotline, and just enough stirring basketball to produce a champion and nominate Adam Silver to replace Fauci as America's infectious disease guru. You know what that means? LeBron James just might take a fast pass up Legacy Mountain, leaving an unprecedented historical footprint in what otherwise has been a year of comeuppance for sports. Of all the audacious attempts to defy a pandemic and resume seasons, the NBA does have the most realistic chance of avoiding a disaster on its Disney World biocampus. I say that knowing the bubble could burst at any time, knowing young men in their 20s might violate protocol and risk catching and spreading the virus, knowing the possibility of serious injuries is higher than usual, knowing the attrition rate could leave the postseason in such tatters that the entire exercise will seem forced and bogus. Already, two players have tested positive during Florida quarantine, and those are the ones we know about, joining the 19 that we know about who have tested positive since July the 1st and have not traveled to Orlando. Russell Westbrook, of course, among the infected, cautioning legions of COVIDiots out there, quote, please take this virus seriously, mask up, hashtag why not, end quote, Westbrook. And yeah, I'm still waiting for J.R. Smith to sabotage the grand experiment in ways only he could invent. But maybe the bubble is a small world after all. I know, I'm out of my mind on this Disney imagery. But Bob Iger's got to be loving it. He otherwise can't stand me. But you know. Think about this. Maybe the league's deliberate and thoroughly underpublicized decision to not test players for marijuana and other recreational drugs, you know how much pixie dust is being smoked in those hotel rooms, by the way, will counteract the boredom. I hope nobody overdoses or anything. It says recreational drugs. It doesn't say weed. I mean, that could be coke. I mean, God, think of what is going on in those rooms. Maybe Kyle Lowry defending a league title with the Raptors is dead on when he says, quote, this thing will work perfectly. end quote. And maybe, just maybe, a scientific wonder in Central Florida will contain the virus somehow and produce an event that truly would distract us from a hellish 2020, its economic ravages, and an apocalyptic presidential election ahead. That would be LeBron versus Giannis. I'm actually thinking about this stuff right now. I'm finally out of it. I am thinking about sports. I never thought this would happen. And maybe I'm stupid for doing it. I'm not sure about you, but I would prefer 7 games of Lakers versus Bucks in early October over any vomit regurgitation involving Trump versus Biden. And with all due reverence to Giannis Antetokounmpo, I haven't said that name in a long time, and I still say it just right, whose league takeover can wait a bit, Giannis's, the world's collective eyeballs would shift to LeBron. Not far from his 36th birthday in his 17th NBA season, and that hairline continues to recede even when he tries to cover it up with whatever he's doing up there, LeBron might be viewing his final chance for a championship right now. While one might think, hey, what more does this guy have to prove? Look, a fourth title under the most daunting circumstances in spectatorless gyms while trying to ward off the damn virus for months would provide unique closure to a magnificent, fascinating career. Now, James will not be remembered as the greatest of all time, with any lingering doubts rejected when a 10-part documentary series reminded holdouts of Michael Jordan's preeminence. James still might think that GOAT status is possible, letting this slip when talking the other day about the quarantine time he spent with his family. Listen up.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time, probably since I was maybe 12 or 13, that I had that much downtime without playing basketball or not knowing when we were going to get back on the floor. So, you know, it gave me an opportunity to be home, make up a lot of time that I've lost over the years because I've been playing in this league and striving to be, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, ever played this game. So, you know, sacrificing my family at times, you know, was the most challenging and hardest part about it all. So for the last 4 months or however long we've been off since March, gave me an opportunity just to be with my kids, be with my wife, spend time with my family, and just kind of rejoice in that moment. So,
but I think I can say this, a place does remain on basketball's proverbial Mount Rushmore, three rocks alongside the rock of Michael Jordan. And if LeBron does hoist a trophy inside the bubble to conclude the pandemic season amid a turbulent America, when his ongoing social justice mission never has been more important, yeah, this would be a triumph like no other in sports history. Not once did James consider opting out of the season. As an observer of the world beyond sports, he does grasp exactly what is in front of him here, and if he must remain sequestered from the outside world until the night of October the 13th, it's July the 20th, October the 13th, then so be it.
Never crossed my mind that we did not need to play this beautiful game of basketball that brings so many people together. That brings happiness, that brings joy to the households, to so many, you know, families, from kids that's just born, where they're, you know, they're born and their parents put on their favorite team's clothing, to all the way to where you're 60, 70, 80 years old and you're just thinking about the game from a sport. And this is all about sport. And I'm happy to be a part of one of the biggest sports in the world, and that's the game of basketball. And I'm happy to have a platform where not only people will gain joy from the way I play the game, from the way our team play the game, but for also what I'm able to do off the floor as well. So, you know, being able to use my platform, use the NBA's platform to continue to talk about what's going on, because I would not stop until I see a real change for us as Black America, for African Americans, for people of color, and also believe I can do both. Though I can bring happiness to a lot of homes with the way I play the game and the way the Lakers is going to play the game, and I will continue to push the envelope and continue to keep my foot on the gas on creating real change for us as people of color in America.
Besides, whoever said LeBron had to be Jordan in the first place? I guess he did, but I never did. Who did? The world in 2020 is radically different than the world his airness ruled in the 90s. Jordan is unquestionably the best player ever, but as he acknowledges, he shrunk as a sneaker capitalist when asked to take significant social stances back then. James is a leading activist for the times, and the bubble is his latest platform.
You know, this is the mission I've been on for a long time now, and it's great that now a lot of people's ears are opening, a lot of people are understanding, a lot of people are recognizing. A lot of people still don't get it, and a lot of people are still afraid to talk about it, but the racism that goes on in America, especially for my people, people of color, it's still here. And but we have some ears. We have some ears, and we will continue to, like I said, to push the envelope and letting people know that we are human as well. No matter our skin color, no matter how we look, no matter how we sound, we don't want to just be used for our God-given ability as far as our talent on the floor, our talents in the music industry, our talents in the industry as far as clothing and things of that nature. But we also want to be recognized for our talent with our brains, because that's what we are, human, just like everybody else. And we should be treated that way. So.
And if you understand his place in the ethos, not as demonstrative as Colin Kaepernick, but forceful when necessary, you do grasp why he isn't wearing one of the league's social justice messages on the back of his Lakers jersey. Why replace James with Black Lives Matter or I Can't Breathe when he has been preaching and wearing related t-shirts for years? I'm guessing James isn't thrilled that he wasn't contacted about the jersey messages. And I think Silver should be whistled for a personal foul for not soliciting his advice. Here is LeBron on the jerseys and why he isn't wearing a message.
You know, it's no disrespect to the list that was handed out to all the players. I commend anyone that decides to put something on the back of their jersey. You know, it's just something that didn't really, you know, seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal. I would have loved to have a say-so on what would have went on the back of my jersey. I had a couple things in mind, but I wasn't a part of that process, which is okay. I'm absolutely okay with that. So what I will continue to do, you know, off the floor and when I'm talking to you guys and when I'm, you know, everything that I do has a purpose, it has a meaning. So I don't need to have something on the back of my jersey for people to understand my mission or know what I'm about and what I'm here to do. So.
His social mission will carry on, of course, championship or otherwise, and winning it all might not happen for James. The Lakers are without Avery Bradley, who opted out because of coronavirus concerns, and they won't have Rajon Rondo and his broken right thumb for 8 weeks. Why J.R. Smith is anywhere near this undertaking, I cannot explain, and it could be the L.A. Clippers, who are deeper and better defensively with arrested Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, win the Western Conference, although as I speak, four of their players aren't even in the bubble, including Montrezl Harrell. As they have always said here in L.A., it would take a cold day in hell or the throes of a pandemic for the Clippers to one-up the Lakers, but I think that's possible. But hey, James is rested too, with the spectacular Anthony Davis by his side, and his teammates who did receive his texts during the break, including, quote, can't wait to get back on the floor with you guys, finish what we started, end quote. They realize what's at stake for the old man. Yeah, he's getting to be an old man, basketball years. Why do you think LeBron left his personal chef at home? He wants to eat what his teammates are eating, no matter what it is. Hang out where they're hanging out. Smoke whatever they're... Okay, I'm not going there. Said teammate Danny Green, quote, LeBron knows it being year 17 for him at 35. Guys are getting older. Some guys might not be 100% healthy or be able to perform at the level they want. Some guys may leave. Free agency, things change, things happen. So we all know our team with our experience within the business of what's at risk. If you have a special group, you better take advantage of it this year. End quote, Danny Green. Yeah, they better win this year. I don't think Davis is going anywhere. We have no idea how much money is going to be available in free agency. We have no idea if there's going to be a next season. Yeah, better get it done now because we can't predict the pandemic. Here was LeBron, who is eyeing again what would be a fourth NBA title along with two in Miami and one in Cleveland.
You know, I'm here for one goal and one goal only. and that's to win a championship. That's to get better every single day. And that's my mindset. My mindset is to do that on the floor. And my mindset off the floor is to continue to you know, give education, continue to give guidance to my community, to communities around the world, in the inner city, about how important our voices is, how important we are, and creating change. That is my main focus. I'm here to do nothing else beside that. Is play the game at a high level, bring a championship back to LA, hopefully, and also continue to push the envelope on creating change for my people.
It's clear that the contender with the fewest setbacks and injuries, okay, to be blunt, the fewest positive tests, likely will win the championship. You think any Laker player, including Smith, would dare incur the wrath of LeBron? Said James, I believe the NBA and Adam Silver took all precautionary measures to make sure that we as a league are as safe as we can be. Silver has given me no reason to never not believe him since he took over. Obviously, there can be things that happen, but we'll cross that line if it happens. End quote. The J.R. Smith line. None of us is bigger than COVID-19, but some of us still can rise above the wretched, invisible foe and achieve the unthinkable. If we're daring to wish upon a star anytime soon, continuing that Disney imagery, wish upon LeBron James in a bubble that doesn't pop. Now it's time for The Buzz, our regular deep dive into sports and life with Chris joining the program. Chris, if it isn't safe and it's not really baseball, what exactly are we about to watch? And can this season, I have no idea how long it's going to last, in any way be a diversion from the chaos we are experiencing in sports and on planet Earth?
So to answer your question, Jay, I think it is a diversion. For me, you know, I watch the inter-squad games mainly because it's kind of my job. So I watch the Dodgers inter-squad games over the last few weeks, and they're really boring. It was good to see baseball. I'm not the biggest baseball fan, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, but I enjoyed at least seeing the guys out there. I enjoyed seeing Dodger Stadium. It was actually kind of cool to see Dodger Stadium empty and how beautiful it is in the field. But watching parts of last night's exhibition game against the Diamondbacks, I got to say, with the cardboard cutouts behind home plate, with the crowd noise pumped in, it didn't, and by the way, it was boring, like baseball is, but it didn't seem that much different, but it was a nice distraction. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I know a lot of people are looking forward to Thursday, the new opening day, and we're going to have baseball, Jay. We're going to have basketball. How long those go, yes, we don't know, but yeah, I think it's a diversion, and everything is different now. Right? That's the new thing. Nothing's going to ever be the same. I don't know if that's completely true, but yeah, it's going to be a different type of baseball. It's going to be a different type of NBA. Football, it's going to be different. At least I know Roger Goodell's plan is for it not to be different, but it's going to be different, at least for the first several months, I would imagine. So I think this is a good thing, Jay. It's a good thing that sports is getting underway. I know you're one of the ones, and you've been very outspoken and very right with many of your points that why even play this? We all know in a perfect world, in the smartest world, yeah, you wouldn't play sports this year. But people need a distraction. There's too much bad stuff going on in the world. So why not try it?
And Chris, just how derelict of an owner is Daniel Snyder? And isn't it a sham that his fellow NFL owners will not move to get rid of him?
Here's the thing, because I think a lot of people point to Donald Sterling and what happened to him after those tapes came out and what ultimately went down with the Clippers ownership. And you had a guy in Steve Ballmer just waiting, and you had a very progressive league with very outspoken players in that way. And you had some vile things. Not to say this isn't vile as well, but the difference is Donald Sterling was insane, obviously. And he was not in a mental state where he even wanted to fight back. Daniel Snyder's going to fight back. This is a guy who's worth billions and has the resources of legal teams. He's not just going to give up his NFL team because of some sexual harassment. And while I think Roger Goodell in his deepest, darkest fantasies might think maybe the Washington football team would be better off without Daniel Snyder at the helm, yes, Jerry Jones is of the world. There's a lot of owners that like Daniel Snyder, I'm sure. They're all friends. They're all billionaires. He's not just going to say, oh no, you caught some harassment. Let me give you the keys to the team. He's going to do a nasty legal battle that I'm sure Roger Goodell doesn't want right now. All Roger Goodell wants is to play football. So that's probably what we're seeing is a fatigue of stories outside of actual playing games.
And Chris, speaking of chaos, ESPN might be nuttier right now than the White House. What exactly is the culture there that would allow somebody to secretly tape Rachel Nichols' hotel room conversation on the phone?
Well, I can't speak to the culture at ESPN television or Bristol or New York or any of that. I think we could speak to the culture of the world and the culture of ESPN being a target, which you know very well. It's a target. It's the most powerful and biggest sports network on the planet. It's backed by the biggest company, maybe right up there. Maybe Amazon's bigger. But the Walt Disney Company when it comes to media and entertainment. So, yeah, ESPN's a target. Rachel's a target. And it's unfortunate. It's disgusting what happened. And it just makes us all think, with technology now, to just that phone that's sitting there in your bedroom or in your kitchen table, it's a microphone that's always on. And 99.9.9.9% nobody's accessing it. But we already know if you say a magical word and then it pops up in your social media ads, if you're talking about avocados, an hour later you're getting ads for avocados, just needs to make you think that, yeah, there's really no safe spot to be saying things you probably shouldn't be saying if you don't want somebody else to hear them.
And Chris, this is positive pixie dust stuff, as I said. Can you imagine if A, the NBA bubble succeeds, and B, LeBron James wins his fourth NBA title while on a mission for social justice?
I think it's the story with the Walt Disney When You Wish Upon a Star music playing in the background, like we did when the NBA Is Back video came out, that looked like the opening to The Lion King. It's something that will be magical. It'll be written in the stars. We'll hear the Jordan-LeBron comparisons, and ESPN will rerun The Last Dance just to get more ratings. Then they'll fast-track a LeBron documentary about 2020. It's everything that everybody wants. That's why it's being played. If LeBron James didn't want to play basketball, the NBA would have scrapped the season, let's be frank. So nobody, the NBA doesn't care about the Portland Trail Blazers, okay, or the Milwaukee Bucks. They want LeBron to win the title and the Lakers to win the title in the bubble. That's the script that is being written.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too chill for political activism. Take it away, Jay.
A month doesn't pass without a media company playing God, exposing its internal hypocrisy in making decisions about careers. The latest victim is Jeremy Roenick, who was fired by NBC Sports back in February for podcast comments describing his fantasy, a sex threesome with his wife and his co-panelist on the network's hockey studio show, host Catherine Tappan. Talking to Barstool Sports, never a good idea, about a 2019 vacation to Portugal with his wife N. Tappan, who is a close family friend, Roenick went gonzo. He described a scene where Tappan looked, quote, effin' smokin', unquote, at a swimming pool with his wife, quoting Roenick, quote, ass and boobs everywhere, unquote. Then spoke about a prank he played with a hotel guest at the resort who inquired if the three were having sex together. This actually happened. Here is the audio from Barstool Sports.
And it was so funny. I was in the pool. We're in the pool one day in Portugal, and we're down the Algarve, and we're in a nice little hotel, beautiful resort, and it's a small little pool, and I'm swimming with my wife and Catherine, and they got their bikinis on. They look fucking smoking, right?
It's a kid show, JR. Be careful.
Yeah, colega. Yeah.
You know, ass and boobs everywhere. It's great. It's great. By the way, if you're going to go with two blondes, go someplace like in the summer where the pool is happening.
Catherine, awesome coworker.
Catherine's great.
She's like your daughter.
Yeah, but I tell you a story. So all of a sudden, this older lady was sitting there with her husband, and She's staring at us the whole time.
She's a Kygeton?
Staring at us the whole time. And finally, I think her curiosity rose to a level where she's like, I got to figure out what the hell's going on here. And she walked right into the pool and comes right up to us and say, okay, what's the situation? Tell me what's going on. And, you know.
2-on-1, no back checkers. That's what's going on right now.
3-on-1 now, baby.
I just said, I'm just having a very, very wonderful trip. That's what I said to her. And she's like, are they both with you? And I said, yes, they are. And then Catherine gives
you
me.
You are lying.
And Catherine says, will you shut up? She starts yelling at me because I play it off like, you know, we're going to bed together all every night, the three of us. And, you know, my wife and Catherine are very close friends. And they scream and yell at me, but listen, it's worth the yelling. There's no question. Yeah. Absolutely. If it really came to fruition, that would really be good, but it's never going to happen.
Now, should Roenick have made the comments publicly? No. Should he have been fired? I guess I could make a case for a dismissal, I suppose, if not for one very large, substantial problem here. NBC did not fire, or as far as I know, even reprimand, its two-star figure skating commentators, Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir, for a recent video spoof loaded with similar sexual innuendos. In yet another ill-advised idea, Lipinski and Weir, who, like Roenick, are known for their irreverence, taped a funny bit for NBC's streaming service with accompanying footage of Olympic skater Brady Tennell. In the promo, they referred to a camel toe and an affair. Camel toe being a crude description of a female body part. The skit quickly was scrubbed from all platforms, including Lipinski's Instagram feed. But oddly, it was defended by NBC Sports spokesperson Dan Masonson, who said the promo was intended as a comedic sketch, while telling the New York Post, quote, in retrospect, this sketch could have been completed with generic footage, end quote. I think he missed the point. Lipinski and Weir were permitted to be risque, and Roenick was not permitted to be risque? Double standard. Anybody who knows Roenick realizes he's as off the wall as they are, such as the night at the 98 Winter Olympics when I ventured into a karaoke bar in sleepy Nagano and saw Jeremy singing Crazy Little Thing Called Love as giddy Japanese locals cheered him on. But because Roenick commented about a female network colleague while Lipinski and Weir referred to a competitive skater, NBC evidently sees one episode as a fireable offense and the other as forgivable. Also, the network just loves Tara and Johnny, as everybody knows. Is that rationale really going to hold up in court? We'll know soon enough after Roenick and a lawsuit filed in New York Supreme Court accused NBC of wrongful termination and even linked the network's agenda to his support of President Trump. Look, in today's media culture, one would be foolish to downplay politics as a corporate boardroom's motivation for a dismissal. I'm quoting Roenick's attorney, Scott William Clark. He told the New York Post, quote, Mr. Roenick is the victim of double standards wrongfully asserted against him. A person's career should not be thrown away by a company as Mr. Roenick's career was with NBC. We are confident that the evidence that will be brought to light from this lawsuit will reveal the rampant disregard of Mr. Roenick's rights, end quote. One piece of evidence, says the Roenick camp, is an alleged comment made by NBC Sports executive Sam Flood. In the suit, Roenick says he asked Flood during the 2018 Winter Olympics about, quote, colorful commentary regarding the body parts of ice skaters from Weir, end quote. So now we have two different episodes, Weir talking about body parts with Lipinski. Responded Flood, according to the court documents, quote, Weir, in parenthesis, is gay and can say whatever, end quote. Whoa. Yes, it's very messy with recklessness from all involved. But this is what happens when media networks sloppily allow amnesia to dictate personnel decisions. My conclusion, NBC had better be prepared to pay Roenick millions and oust Sam Flood. We all should strive for equality in today's evolving world, and the double standards in this case are egregious. Either fire Roenick and the figure skating commentators, or fire none of them. That's our show. Thanks to Mac Miller, no longer with us, for his musical contribution in the show open. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anyone or anything mute you in life.